Morning, church. It's good to have you all here today. And this is one of those days where the religious world is all going to hear probably about the same sermon that you're going to hear today. And it's a message of hope. It's a message of love. And it's a message of a Savior that we all need. If you are a follower of the Julian calendar, then it would be 1,990 years ago and 4 days since our Christ resurrected from the grave. Many in the world, as we said, will meet today to remember that glorious event. And I'm glad that you're here. But it has been expressed more than once already throughout this service, it's each and every Lord's Day that we meet together to remember His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And something that should be remembered each and every day of our life as we are given this opportunity to let our light shine for Him. Our text this morning is going to be six verses, and it's going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8. And as Paul starts this off, it's a reminder to us, as he says, that this is of first importance. And so what do we put as first importance? That which is most important, right? And so what Jesus is having, or the Holy Spirit is having Paul remind us, is that if you're going to forget everything else, remember this. Hook this one in. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. Amen? But more than that, it says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's what we're thankful for, that these have been pinned down for us, that we can serve this as a reminder. And that He was buried, and then He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared to me also. And those are the words of the Apostle Paul. And he goes on, and one of the, at least in my mind, one of the great chapters that we have in Scripture as far as giving us hope, as far as giving us a joy, as far as giving us a salvation not to be contained and kept within us, but a salvation to be shared with all mankind. Because it goes on to say that if there is no resurrection, then we as men are to be most pitied. Because you are here today because you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? You are here today, as we shared on our time of the Lord's Supper and communion, because you have shared in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? And this is what we're going to talk about, and this is what we are going to share here this morning, that we celebrate this day as the day of His celebrating his divinity, and when I say his, Jesus Christ. And as a reminder to us, his purpose for coming to this earth. We go through life, many of us may ask from time to time, especially those that are have graduated here in the last year, looking forward to graduation coming. What is my purpose in life? Jesus knew what his purpose was. And you, too, can find your purpose for living through Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to remember, that it commemorates a day as we look of hope that comes true. The day of the resurrection. The day where we can gain eternal promises. Remember on the day of Pentecost, which will be 50 days from May 28th, the celebration of that, the church began. And as we look at that, he says, Peter says, that this promise is for you, speaking to those in attendance that day, and to those that are afar off, speaking to us here today. And as I caught the tail end of George's class and he started hitting some of those, read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 47, and you'll get the rest of the picture. But this day, as we celebrate his resurrection, we have a section in your Bible called the Gospel accounts. And the accounts of the gospel share the message of him in the tomb, his buried body, and then 3 days later, the tomb is empty. The account of Jesus' resurrection, as we said, is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there you can see each one of the books, Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John chapter 20. They all tell a slightly different account of the same story from the author's differing perspectives. But they all have one message in common, that Jesus died, that Jesus was buried, and that Jesus rose again. We oftentimes will joke, who's buried in Grant's tomb, right? Who's buried in Muhammad's tomb? Muhammad, right? If you didn't get the first one, Grant, right? Okay. Second one, who's buried in Muhammad's tomb? Muhammad. Who's buried in Christ's tomb? Nobody. Nobody. That makes the difference. Many people have died for their country, for their loved ones. Some will even say, as a Messiah, they died. But what makes the one and only difference, the big difference, is that Jesus Christ did not stay in the tomb, but was resurrected from the grave. Jesus appears in some of the text himself. The first account we see would be maybe Jesus appearing. Other times in other writers in the gospel will say that there were angels there first that shared the example. Why seek the living among the dead? Whether it was Christ himself or angels bringing that message, the fact was the gospel message in its fullness could now be preached. His life, his birth, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the disciples. He appeared to other followers before he ascended into heaven. He spent 40 days walking in and out amongst them, sharing with them as a reminder to them that it was not just an apparition, as those that John later tries to refute in his epistles. It was not just an apparition. This was not just a ghost. That this was Jesus Christ in the flesh doing God things. He was able to walk through walls. We'd say that was a ghost. He was able to digest fish, which takes blood from the human body to be able to do that. Ghosts do not have that. Humans do. What Jesus Christ was doing was proving that he had resurrected in full bodily form from the grave. His resurrection proved him to not be only human, but also divine. He had this struggle as he was here on earth trying to get those to believe that he was, in fact, the Son of God. That he was God in the flesh. As a matter of fact, that's how they went after him to kill him, was it not? That he claimed to be God. Philippians talks about that. Philippians chapter 2. It says, again, Paul writing, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. God in the flesh, not choosing to be honored as such, but taking on the form of a bondservant, there is a slap in the face lesson for each and every one of us. And being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As Jesus is put on that cross, John the Apostle tells us that it was the day of preparation. You know what was going on in the city of Jerusalem on the day of preparation? As the streets flowed with blood, preparing for the Passover, and preparing for the Sabbath, which, and that's how you can go back through history if you follow the Julian calendar and figure all that out, that Jesus Christ was on the very mountain. This is Dylan and I got into this discussion yesterday. On the very mountain that thousands of years before the covenant with Abraham or the obedience of Abraham was put to its fullest test with the sacrificing of his son Isaac. I believe that as we saw there in the Philippians chapter 2 passage, that he humbled himself to become obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, so too Isaac had to do the same thing. But Abraham knew that even if he slayed him, that even if the knife was put to him, his son, the only begotten son, that God would resurrect him. See, people who obey the God of heaven have believed in the resurrection long before Jesus resurrected. Now, I'm not downplaying the resurrection of Jesus, but I'm saying if there is no hope in the resurrection, then we are the men most pitied, as we've already discussed. So then, thousands of years later, on that day of preparation, the ultimate Lamb of God was being prepared for us as he was nailed to the cross. As the streets flowed with blood of bulls and goats, so too flowed from the cross of Calvary the blood that can save the world. But again, as we remember, it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. No goat. No bull was given a tomb to lay in. In reality, their carcasses were discarded. The body of Jesus on the day of preparation was prepared not for an eternity left in the ground, but just for 3 days. So that on the first day of the week, he would be resurrected and proved to be the Son of God. As Jesus laid in that tomb, there's no doubt that we see the perplexity of the situation in the minds of his followers. Because their rabbi, their master, their teacher was dead. But I can't help to think that perhaps maybe the words of Jesus would hopefully ring in their minds as encouragement until that time happened. As he shared about the death of a good friend named Lazarus and reminded them all. That I am the resurrection and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. For Jesus, as was shared at our communion time this morning, has become that mediator between God and us, Christ. The man, where the veil was torn, and we've talked about that on Sunday nights, where the veil was torn and opened us up to the opportunity for us to share in the holiest place, the holy of holies, heaven, because of Jesus conquering the grave. It seemed as though sin had won. It seemed, though, that Satan had become victorious, as Satan perhaps did a little dance on the grave of Jesus as they rolled the stone over the tomb. And Satan, believing that he was victorious. But I believe it's the Gospel of Mark where it says that the stone was blown away. It's almost the word of dynamite. Some will say that it was rolled away, but it blown away, rolled away, thrown away, tossed away, discarded. Wasn't going to keep my Savior in the ground, amen? He seemed defeated. and yet was getting ready to share with us the greatest victory mankind has ever known. And as we continue to see this, we see that Sunday, then, the first day of the week, was the day in which we celebrate this miracle. As we're reminded of the one day a year celebration, a holiday of sorts, this is where I want for us as Christians to remember not to confuse our holidays with holy days. We remember Jesus on the first day of each week by participating in the Lord's Supper, his body and his blood. The body that was nailed to the cross and the blood that was shed, the life blood of Jesus Christ. As we're reminded in Acts 20, verse 7, and on the first day of the week, they gathered together to break bread, to have the Lord's Supper. This is our apostolic example that we have of obedience to him for the first day of every week. And yet then, as we still pointed out, the one day a year, the one day a week, and please, as you are talking to your Lord and Savior, talking to the Father through your Lord and Savior each and every day, don't forget to thank him for what he's done for us on that cross as well. It's not just a one-day event. It's not just a one-week event. This is a life-changing experience that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. I caught, of course, if anyone of you, I was on, at least on the History Channel yesterday, the Bible, and so I always enjoy watching that, and I was skipping through and in and out that throughout the rest of the day. I will say this, Josh, I did skip away from it for just a little bit to watch soccer. I thought Mr. Burton would flip out if he knew I was watching soccer, and I watched just about the whole game. But anyway, so it got to the part at the end when the last 2 hours or whatever, when it's when Jesus, the actor that's playing Jesus, comes on the scene and he gets in the boat with Peter, and Peter's like, he's like, I'm here to change your life. And Peter's like, well, how do you know I want my life changed? And isn't that true with so many people today? We try to preach the gospel to so many people, but yet maybe they don't want their life changed. But then this is how Jesus responded. I come to change the world. And that's what we've got to get the world to understand, is that Jesus is not going to just change your life. He's going to change your world. The way you look at the world, the way we approach the world, the way that we live in the world. And yet he's given us this opportunity to meet here upon the first day of every week to remember him, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And the good thing is, as we touched on at the beginning, everyone that hears this gospel message, the birth, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ, can share in his death. Matter of fact, Scripture tells us we do that. We can share, we can, and we do share in his death by sharing in his resurrection. We share in his death, his burial, and his resurrections, and we do that by being immersed, by being baptized into Jesus Christ. Because of this gospel message, because of the resurrection, we have hope. And in that hope, we have forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins that no one else in this building needs to know about. forgiveness that is made right with the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then because of that, this promise is for you and for all those that are far off. What promise is that? That we can have forgiveness of sin? Yes. That we can be saved? Yes. But that we can have eternal life. Poor Lazarus. I've oftentimes, you know, as we talk about what you want to do when you get to heaven and who you want to talk to, he's one of those guys that I'm like, dude, okay? I mean, you died once and you had to do it again? But you know what? That's not a question we can ask Jesus, because he died, resurrected, rose again, and lives now forever. He lives so that we don't have to die. And he died so that we may always live. Romans 6, again, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome here, and he's reminding them, it's a reminder here, do you not know? In other words, wake up, McFly, right? That's what he's telling them, slapping them on the forehead. Wake up. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism. We weren't put in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb as Jesus was. We're put into a watery grave that we can share in our death. And you don't put live people into graves. You put dead ones. And they come out. If they believe in the resurrection. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We come out of the watery grave, resurrected to a new life. For those that are dead in Christ shall rise first. Baptism into his death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too, you, I, me, we, all of us, can walk in a newness of life. That means we have put the old life behind us. Jesus will change your world. After the grave, there gives us a list in our text of those that Jesus came in contact with. Something had to be true in the old covenant if it was witnessed by two or three witnesses. Paul goes on to tell them that in more than 500 people, Jesus Christ appeared to after coming out of the grave. He did this to make himself known to all those there. This is where we can share. As the rest of that text says, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, we're dead, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Jesus Christ conquering the grave, having us conquer sin and death, have made it so we do not have to suffer the penalty of death. because we have hope in him. He made himself known to 500 people, over 500 people. And then, as we are lowered into the watery grave of baptism, as we die with him, as we arise to walk in a newness of life, it is our responsibility as a Christian. It is our responsibility to make Christ known to all those that we come in touch with, that we come in contact with. As George shared in his class this morning, as I caught at the end again there, when's not a good time to share Jesus? Someone's in a good mood? Hey, it's a great time to share him with Jesus. Someone's down and out on their luck? It's a great time to share the message of Jesus. We talk ourselves out of it. We really do. And I'm not claiming to be any different than you are many times, unfortunately. But through the boldness of Jesus Christ, through the boldness of the scriptures, we need to share this message with a world that needs it so desperately. As was started off in our text, 1 Corinthians 15:3, "For I've delivered to you as of first importance," as of most importance here, "what I received, that Christ," listen up here, all those of you that are Christians, take a few moments and pray to your Lord and Savior, your Father through your Lord and Savior, and you're on your own for a few seconds, okay? But for those of you that are here that are outside of Jesus Christ, he died for our sins, according to the scriptures. This isn't just some guy getting up here telling you this is what happened. The Bible says so, right? The Bible tells us. The Bible, the most historically accurate document that we have, says that if you are outside of Jesus Christ, the only thing that can save you is sharing in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And if you're outside of Jesus Christ, we pray that today would be that day to follow the plan that is laid out in scriptures, not by me, not by the elders, not by any guy in a college somewhere or some professor, but the Bible says to believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, to repent of your sins, in which he died for, to confess Jesus Christ, because he is not just your, he is Lord of all, to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and live your life faithfully for him, letting all those know that they need to do the same. We've been given a message of hope. We've been given a message of life. We've been given a message of freedom through Jesus Christ. We've been given a message of a Savior. Will you respond today before it's eternally too late? Will you stand as they lead us in our song?